Okay, now each week I told you, I'm going to give you what I call a principle. We went through four principles in our first talk. And I sprinkle each class with some principles. These are hardcore, true principles that I like to say stand on their own two feet. Here's principle number five. I could say this in several different ways. In fact, one of the statements I have under this principle, I wrestled. Should this be the principle or should I say it this way? And I went back and forth. So I wound up saying principle number five, stop protesting and prosecuting. Start accepting and understanding. Now, I came real close to making the principle the second statement. There's always something right about what seems to be going wrong. Now, think about that. There's always something right about what seems to be going wrong. I want you to live by that principle. When we look through our set of glasses, which we all have a set of glasses, these are my Blues Brothers glasses. Thank you. When we look through our set of glasses in our brain, and what we see doesn't align with what we expected to see out there. Oh, I didn't expect that. Human beings usually protest. Here's what they say. That shouldn't be happening. That should not be happening. What's up with that? That shouldn't be happening. A shouldn't word is a protest. Banish it from your vocabulary. Okay, wait a minute. That shouldn't be happening. When we look through our glasses and what we see doesn't align with what we wish, prefer, or desire, we say, that shouldn't be that way. What's up with that? Now, this is a protest. When we look through these glasses and what we see doesn't match our current knowledge base because our software is at version 2.0. We uploaded it back in the late 90s. Life has gone on, and really, life is at a version 4.5 if we're at a 2.0. So when we see something and we can't make sense of it because our software is at a version 2.0, we go, that shouldn't be happening. That shouldn't be that way. Isn't this interesting? When we see something that doesn't match, we never question our glasses. We simply protest and we say, that out there, that shouldn't be that way. You know, my spouse, my boyfriend, my girlfriend, they shouldn't be acting that way. My husband, my wife, they shouldn't be acting that way. Our son, our daughter, our son-in-law, our daughter-in-law, they shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't be that way. What are they thinking? You know, our son, we raised him better than that. He shouldn't be that way. You know, my boss, co-workers, team, shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't be that way. Now, this is a protest inside our hula hoop. There's only one problem. What is that problem? There's only one problem. They are that way. Imagine that. They're actually being that way. So I'm going to encourage you, as I encourage every person that I work with, never say, ever, this shouldn't be this way. You know why? Because it is this way. Now, if it is this way, it should be this way. Oh, that is profound. Oh, my gosh, what did your therapist tell you? He said, if it is this way, it should be this way. That is profound. Because human beings are very, very conceptual. We actually have a category inside our brain filled with concepts. And we look through our glasses and we go, oh, that's not supposed to be that way. But in real life, it actually is that way. If a Max Jet 737 keeps crashing, do you know it should? Why? There's a software problem. Engineers look at it and they go, I think we have a problem. Engineers will step back and go, this is repeatable, so something must make sense. Because it keeps happening. So let's accept it, and let's ask ourselves, I wonder why it's this way. I must lack understanding. Because this seems to be repeatable and persistent and consistent. If it's repeatable, consistent, and persistent, it should be this way. It's not an anomaly. So I have to help people in relationships. Thank you very much. Billy, what has this got to do with relationships? Let me bring the cookies to the lower shelf so you can grab them and eat them. I tend to float off into the ethereal world of the abstract. I just landed the plane. Billy, what has this got to do with relationships? Because when you look at human beings, if they are consistent, persistent, and repeatable, they should be that way. What? Why are you protesting them? Why? You don't understand them. So you're going to protest. They shouldn't be this way. I'm going to look at them and go, find me three legitimate reasons why they are exactly the way they are. Give me three. You need to find them because they keep being this way. You keep protesting. They shouldn't be this way. Okay, how about this? Let's go outside my office, which you can look out my office window to the lovely view of 635 and the traffic on 635, right out my office. I see the ambulances and the fire trucks and the traffic. So you and I can go outside, stand on the medium in the parking lot of my office, and we can fold our arms and we can protest. You know, the traffic on LBJ shouldn't be that way. Let's go outside. Now let's shake our fist. I protest. What are you protesting? Traffic on LBJ shouldn't be that way. Those engineers that we hired, all the money we paid, that traffic should be flowing. I protest. Do you know all the people on LBJ, when they look out their car windows and see us standing out there shaking our fists, what do they say? What are those people doing out there? Well, we're protesting. Now, human beings actually think that their protest is going to change reality. You actually think in a marriage relationship or a significant other boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, you actually believe your soapbox protest and folding your arms is going to change the other human being. Think of that. I protest how you are. I just don't think it works. It's inefficient. Why don't you seek to understand and accept them and give me three good reasons why they are exactly the way they are? Stop protesting, start accepting and understanding, then have a response to co-create a relationship. It goes much better. Let me go over that again. Stop protesting, stop prosecuting, seek to understand and accept so you can have a positive response to create a relationship. Protesting how they are is not going to change anybody. Here's another cardinal rule of mental health. Now I have a principle, number 5, and 2 sub-principles. Oh, dear Lord. Here it is. If the map you're holding, a map of Dallas, doesn't match your terrain, because you're in Oklahoma City, if the map you're holding doesn't match the terrain, the map is wrong. Get a new map. Let me say that again. Sounds so simple. If the map in your brain of how you think people should be doesn't match how they're actually behaving, get a new map and seek to understand, because your map is wrong. But everybody I know wants to hold on to their map and fit reality into it, because they love their map. Now, they're in Oklahoma City, but they got a Dallas map. They keep looking up going, that should be Irvay. Where's Irvay? That should be Irvay. What's wrong? They start protesting. They won't be flexible and say, maybe my map is wrong. Maybe I'm understanding this. Maybe I'm not seeing it right. They hold on to their map and try to fit everybody into their map and protest and change everybody else. It will never work. Your son, your daughter, your boss, your coworker, your spouse, your significant other, your family relative, if you hold on to your map and protest and try to fit them in to meet your map, they will fight you. Because they don't appreciate it. If the map you're holding doesn't match out here, be flexible and get a new map. There's always something right about what seems to be going wrong. There's always something legitimate about what's in front of you. Do not stand in front of it and go, that shouldn't be that way. No, 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 no. It is this way. Can we seek to understand it? Example. Had a client years ago, female. She came in, second session. I felt a little pinch in my spirit when I was meeting with this person. And I really like all my people. I really do. I like them. But she was a little blunt, and I couldn't figure out how she came across. She was an attorney. Watch it. Watch it. And her manner of communication was different for me, and I felt a little bugged, and I felt a little pinched inside, and I was working hard not to take it personally. And she even called me out on a couple of things. I told her I was going to send her via email, and she called me out and said, you didn't send them, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I got busy, blah, blah. Right? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thanks, Larry. All right. And a couple of times when she tried to really connect with me, she was trying to be humorous, and she smiled weirdly 2 times. She went like this. And I felt, I don't know, I just felt weird. And I started not to like her in my heart. I was having real trouble just being with her. And I kept staying with it, kept staying with it. Then it hit me. It hit me. And I got it. She said, I have 2 children at home and they're both autistic. She has flat affect. She has no emotional connection. She's blunt. She has very little social skill. and she was impacting me. What was she? Asperger's. She even said to me, several people have said, I have Asperger's. Then she tried to smile. And I sat there and I went, my software just got upgraded from a 2.0 to a 4.0, and I got her. I understand her. I wasn't upset. I wasn't mad at her. I felt free inside, and I liked her. I liked her. She smiled at me a couple of times to try to make a connection. Even when I said, are you getting something out of therapy? She said, yes. And I couldn't figure it out because it seemed to me she wasn't getting nothing. And I went, oh, I get you. And I liked her. What changed? Thank you. My set of glasses and my understanding and lack of protesting, seeking to accept and understand and to find the good reasons of why she was exactly the way she was, all the factors were there to produce exactly what we had. Who am I to protest that? So instead of saying, this shouldn't be this way, I said, it is this way. I want to seek to accept it and understand it. Radical, radical acceptance of everything outside your hula hoop, first and foremost. Accept it as it is, not as you would have it to be. Then you can formulate a response to it. If you don't accept it but protest, you will be reacting to it. Radical acceptance. And by the way, I hope you picked it up. I just quoted the second half of the Serenity Prayer. Did some of you pick that up? Taking this world as, in fact, it actually says, Reinhold Niebuhr, taking this sinful world as Jesus did, just as it is, not as I would have it to be. Reasonably happy in this life, supremely happy with Him in the next. That's the second half of the Serenity Prayer. Because we as human beings refuse to take people and this world just as it is. We protest and try to take it as we would have it to be. Got it? That'll make a world of difference in how you approach people. Seek to accept them and understand them. Stop protesting. Who are you to protest? Never say they shouldn't be this way. Rather say they are being exactly as they should be. Maybe I don't understand it. Lastly, with this point, if you want to be a person of influence, there are two ways. First, assume a position of protest and bring people to the par of justice. Convict them, call in your expert witness, use negatives and negatives emotions, faults, find deficiencies, and demand to be right. Go ahead. Call your expert witnesses and put them on the stand and prove them guilty. Point out all their deficiencies and complain to them about them. You win. But I tell everybody, if you're going to prosecute somebody and bring all their deficiencies out and prove to them and substantiate it with negative thoughts and negative emotions about them to them, you win. In the court of law, you read your victim statement, you prosecuted them, you called your expert witness. That's it. You win. Leave the courtroom. You got what you came for. Do not turn to them later and say, hey, you want to go to lunch? Do not turn to them and say, thank you so much. I'd like to have a relationship with you. You got what you wanted. You prosecuted them. Rather, how about this? Instead of prosecuting human beings, including your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your family relative, why not assume a position of acceptance and invitation? Attempt to influence people by establishing a relationship connection. Use positive emotions and validation. Say, would you please consider? Or, I don't understand. Or, I really care about you. I'm just confused. Or, could you say it a different way? I'm seeking to understand. I know this is important. Work together to co-create a relationship. And really be careful. Ask yourself at the beginning of any interaction, what do you want? What do you really want? You know, most of the people in my therapy office, and it's a skewed population. I know it is. It really is. I get that. I'm okay with that. This is my life. When they enter my therapy office to seek change, many of the people there, understandably, I don't find fault, it's just what it is, are there to prove the other person wrong, and they're there to prove that they are right. And I have to help people, you know, before you share what you authentically feel with your spouse or partner, girlfriend, boyfriend, boss, coworker, relative, family, I got to ask you a question. What do you want to accomplish? And by the way, did you come in one car? I mean, really? Because if you're going to authentically sit in the office and say, I don't like you, you piss me off, I can't believe this, you make me so angry, I'm so sick and tired of you being this way, and I have a right, and I'm going to exercise my right, and I didn't get in a relationship for this. Okay, you win. You prosecuted. They sat there, they took it, you beat them up. Are you going to go home in the same car? If you're going home in the same car, you might want to be a nicer person. You can make your points by being a nicer person. Really, you can. So do you want to prosecute people and prove you're right? Or do you want to co-create a relationship? Do you know why, I said this last time, do you know why people use negatives and prosecute other people? Because it's easier. That's easy. I can tell you what I don't like about you in an instant. It's easy. Doesn't take any effort. It's passive. It's negative. And I want to tell you what else it does. It allows a person to hide. A person who's prosecuting and using negatives is in a position of non-responsibility. They just jumped up on their big old soapbox and are being negative and allows them to hide. They're hiding what they really want. They're hiding. They're just getting off easy. If you really want a relationship, you'd go about it a different way. You don't really want one. You just want to vent. And that's easy. It takes discipline to co-create a positive relationship. It takes discipline, and you have to care. You know, the most people in my office who don't care anymore, they don't care. So they're just going to say what they want. I need somebody to care. Once you don't care in your heart, it's licensed to have bad behavior. So you got to really ask yourself the question, what do you want at the end of a conversation? What do you want? You want to feel closer to somebody? Do you want to feel closer in your heart to them? And be careful how you say what you say. Because married couples especially think, I get to say whatever I want to say when I say it, and you got to endure it, find the value, and like me in your heart. I don't have to show that discipline, but you do. They'll find that for a little while. Until they won't, then they're done. You get it? That's principle number 5. Stop prosecuting and protesting, start accepting and understanding. Take a break. We'll come back, and then we're going to start a solid, flexible self. Take 10 minutes.